1201 straight up with Gresham Fourier. Next week, we'll be out of the draft Wednesday, Thursday, Friday out in Detroit. And, of course, our draft coverage brought to you by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston, and Cape Cod's choice for home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC product and services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chockfull and Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Spices. And, of course, we are, as our draft countdown has here in studio, 9 days, 7 hours, 57 minutes from round one of the NFL draft beginning. And we'll talk about it all with our guy, Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He is with us on the Harbor One hotline. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good to have an opportunity to chat.
Well, I mean, I wonder, Tommy, we do this 52 weeks a year, and I wonder what will be more, our weekly chats or quarterback dinners in Foxborough?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I think that it is well worth doing all the due diligence you possibly can on all of these guys, Penix included, because I think with Michael Penix, I think that's what you're alluding to. So with Michael Penix coming in, who is clearly a player who is going to be drafted outside the top 10, you're now setting the stage for having everything done if you decide to move down. How would Michael Penix fit? How would he work in your system? Is he a medical check mark for you, or are those ACLs a problem?
I do wonder how much of the quarterback carousel is for Elliott Wolf and crew, and how much of it is, let's make sure that Thunder, Mr. Kraft, gets to sit with all of these guys along the way. Is that a misread on my part? Do you think it really is about the football? Or how much of it is, well, I got a guy here in Elliott Wolf who's waiting to get the full stripes. We know Gerard Mayo, Robert Kraft put him in there. How much of this do you think is getting these QBs in front of the owner and making him feel comfortable about these dudes?
I would think that would be about 77th on the list of reasons that you'd have a quarterback in when you got the third overall pick. I mean, it's kind of self-evident that you better do your due diligence on every quarterback who has a chance to go in the top 50 picks. You better know every guy inside and out. The added benefit of having your boss get to shake his hand and see how big his hand size is, Michael Penix, by the way, massive hands, is good. But to me, if you're going to do a dog and pony show for the owner because you're too lazy to otherwise bring the quarterbacks in who might be selected at the top of the draft, you got the wrong guy in the wrong situation. So I can't imagine that they're having Michael Penix or anybody do a top 30 visit in just so that they can appease Robert Kraft and cover their ass. You got to do the work. I don't get why you wouldn't do that.
I am curious how prepared this new regime is for all the different variables and possibilities that can come up when they're officially on the clock. Serious question. I wonder, is there any sort of like dress rehearsal that they would go through? How, let's go through the draft and hey, what if
absolutely
this happens? Hey, okay. So sure enough, they call, they want, okay, well, what do we do? Who do we, is it, cause I don't think that's what Bill did. And I don't know if he did or not, but I'm assuming there's got to be some sort of rehearsal with at least the potential options that will come up.
That's 1 million percent accurate. And actually, that would be a fun thing to do in the next 5 days or so to try and get to the bottom of that. So that's a great story idea. You know, talk to guys who've role-played the situations on the clock in the 15 minutes and done the negotiations of a draft, excuse me, of a trade possibly. I think they absolutely will do that. You can't be sitting there at, you know, 8:38 next Thursday and then say, oh boy, Minnesota's calling and they're offering this wide receiver and this tackle combination and these picks. What do we do? You have to have everything at your fingertips. That's why I think the Patriots should be actually spitballing right now. Who do we ask for if the Giants are trying to move up? Who do we ask for if the Raiders are moving up? Same thing with Denver. Minnesota, you could just do the picks which is three of them. But those other teams can only trade. You can't trade into 2027 with your first-round pick. So you can only grab from, say, for instance, Denver. You can only take their 24 and their 25, I believe, first-round picks. I might. You can't go 3 years into the future.
You have to take a player.
Who do you want?
Yeah, and if you were. Okay, I know, obviously, there's three quarterbacks that everybody keeps talking about, and, you know, maybe the third guy who's left, you know, after the first two go, maybe they don't love this guy as much, or maybe they get lucky and the very guy that they liked, you know, is literally the guy they fall to. What situation would you, if they can't get the quarterback that they want, what do you think is the next best move they would make? And I say honestly, this with assuming
I think
that
down, I've been a proponent of trading down since the end of the season, just based on the putrid nature of the talent on their offense relative to the rest of the league. No offense to any individual players, but the assemblage of talent is so overmatched compared to the rest of the league. So I've been a proponent of trading down anyway. I just don't think, Christian, that they're going to find themselves in a situation where there's nobody they can work with. They can't. They literally can't go wrong at number three when they take a quarterback. There's more logical things that they could do. There are more productive things that they could do in terms of getting the entire roster better by trading down. But I believe between May, Daniels, and McCarthy, there might be variations on how well those individuals will work out. But they literally cannot be in a worse situation than they were at the end of the season.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston here with Gresham Fourier. He's with us on the Harbor One hotline. I just wish I felt in my heart, Tommy, that the guy they got at three is the guy they want and not just the third of three who was left standing there waiting to be picked. Is there any chance at all in your mind that they say, man, we got big conviction that this is going to be the guy. Let's try to move up one spot and make something happen? Because it just doesn't feel like that latter scenario is even remotely on the table. What do you make of that?
I think in another draft that might be existing, that mindset. But to me, there are strengths and weaknesses to each of these guys, whether it's Drake May and his scattershot accuracy, whether it's J.J. McCarthy and his size relative to the other guys and the amount of grading on the curve you have to do because of Michigan, or whether it's Jaden Daniels and the fact that he's slightly built and might play 11 games a year. All of these guys have qualifiers, but all of these guys have great arguments for why you would take them. So I don't think you're going to look at May and say, we got to go get Daniels. He stinks. Same thing with, and there's three of them. So you're either going to get May or Daniels. That's a fait accompli. So I just can't see one of those guys standing out enough or one of the other guys being a big enough drop-off to where you say, let's start giving up collateral to move up. They're not in a position, I think, to give away talent, conceivably.
Have they, will they use all 30 of their visits?
I think they're close to it.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Cause I'm seriously, cause I'm assuming, hey, let's just go to Davio's. Hey, let's go grab a steak. They get the back room and it feels like a recruiting trip because I know it's not just one guy.
They're not going to CBS scene.
No, it's not there anymore anyway. So they'd be like, where is this place? Because it's not just one guy that comes in. Like it's usually a couple guys that come in order to maximize, you know, just the time that they have left because, hell, the draft is, you know, 9 days away. So
yeah.
Have you heard of anybody else coming in?
No, but fascinatingly, Albert Breer just reported that all of the quarterbacks are going to be in Washington.
All of them same time?
Yes.
Oh,
they're all this week, all of them will be visiting at the same time, save Caleb Williams, but the other four, including Penix, will be there at the same time, all going out to dinner, having a round table.
Wow.
So that's good content if you can get a camera on the wall.
That would be interesting.
Oh, yeah, especially with a first-time owner down there. They're ripe to screw something up.
I would put them all in the room together and treat it like some sort of competition. Okay, all right, so here's a play. What would you do? And then see what the next guy would say.
What are you doing, Hunger Games the next or something?
Yeah, I would treat it like the Hunger Games. All right, go back to your hotel. You were wrong.
You get a burger. That's it. You get the filet, for crying out loud.
And then do they get the company card after dinner is over to go around the, you know, the Metro D.C. area once dinner is over, right? That's what you really want to know.
All four of them. All right, boys, you're free. Go ahead.
Go see the town.
Send you guys to see how they interact, who does what, and what time everybody gets home.
Yeah.
I admit this is a little bit of an off-the-exit ramp question, Curran. However, are you hearing anything on any of maybe the veteran players that are here and guys who could be moved around the draft? I know from a cap standpoint, there's plenty of room to be able to punt on Juju Smith-Schuster if they want to. Does somebody maybe offer them something for Judon that they're like, listen, we like Judon, but this is really going to – like, is there any of that kind of buzz, or do you have any feeling that maybe, just maybe, there could be some of people moving off the roster around the draft?
I would say this, Gresham. It's not a bad question. We're leading up to the draft. They're going to, shake out the roster in one way or another. But to me, you're in a position where the guys that you have, whether it be a Judon or any other player, like even a new Chase, signed a one-year deal. He might be a commodity. All of those guys, you're not in a position to move on from talent or people that you want here. So the guys that you have right now are basically the guys that you want. Additionally, the guys who might be marginal, I don't know if another team wants them. I mean, everybody is in, I'm bringing young guys on mode. I think that the NFL season kind of goes in a cycle. And right now the cycle is going to be on, these are the guys that we want to bring in. Now, I could see the Patriots maybe bringing guys in from other teams who become obsolete because of the draft in other cities. And with such a deep draft at the wide receiver position, I think that's a really good question for down the road. Do the Patriots look at another roster and say, that guy just became obsolete in, say, Jacksonville? Let's see if we can work a deal to get that player in here. So that's definitely something to watch too.
So last one for me, I know you got to get going. I'm seeing all these, teams releasing videos of the coaches addressing the team for the first time ever. And I know that, what was it, last week was the Patriots' first week of voluntary minicamp.
They started the 8th.
Did he? I'm assuming he had a team meeting. I don't ever remember, like, the first, during voluntary mini camps, there was an actual team meeting, but I feel like a lot of the new coaches are doing that. No, any word on what was said? Nothing was released? We haven't heard what he said, what his message is?
They didn't do what the Falcons did.
Or and even the Falcons, even the Raiders. Antonio Pierce did the same thing. So I'm curious if you've got wind of any information.
I don't know what I did not ask what the message was. I would imagine it follows straight in line with everything that they have indicated that it was going to be in the off season. But I'm positive that Gerard would have had some kind of a message to deliver to the players. But, we will have access to some of these players in the coming weeks, and we will actually get access to Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo this week, or actually definitely Wolf. I'm not sure about Gerard Mayo, on Thursday at 10 a.m. So you guys are going to have artillery for the Thursday show with the Elliot Wolf press conference. But it's worth asking about, but I'm sure it follows in line with, these are the things we're going to do. This is the culture we're going to implement, and we're not going to have any more do your job signs around here. How's that sound, boys?
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
Don't get him started with the do your job signs.
That's, oh, my God.
See how he ended that?
Oh, no, that was good.
That was a shot at me.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I just figured that. By the way, Tom Curran, the guy the Patriots can't quit, they're wishing Bill Belichick happy birthday on Twitter.
I know. Larry David meme to me. A text would have sufficed.
Yes.
To me. Text the man.
The problem is the problem is nobody wanted to be the one that would have to send the text. They'd be like, oh, can't I get away from that?
Yeah, because, honestly, look, you just dismissed the guy. No matter how much you stood there and tried to don't. It's stepping on rake season.
A great way to end it with Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tom, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.